TanCast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
These conversations are raw, explicit,
and contain adult themes and content.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello from the outside.
At least I can say that I tried to do this goddamn show 3 weeks in a row. But every time I try, your computers say no, no, no.
That is not the hello song.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Yeah, it is. Wait.
No. No, sir, that's paper.
Do you mean the lyrics?
No, I mean like the melody.
That is the melody, sir.
No. Anyways,
I hear it way more than you do.
Oh, I've been listening to it. You just got on the bandwagon, dude. I've been listening to that song forever.
I've been listening to that song forever. I saw her little thing with James Corbin, and I was like, you know what? I like this chick, and that's why I tweeted that. If we have the fucking radio on it, mix it work. If we took a shot every time they played that song, I'd be dead from alcohol poisoning.
Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
TanCast.
Hi, I'm Tim Babb, an extremely obscure stand-up comedian. I started this podcast because I thought it might be interesting to find out what makes a comedian laugh. In my case, it's my two old roommates, Andy and Noah. They're not comedians, but they always used to make me laugh. But now we don't live together anymore. So, we decided we'd do this podcast every week and try and make each other laugh and record it so maybe we make a few of you laugh as well. This week, we're finally back recording a new episode of Actual TanCast. We talk about movies for a really long time and then we talk about Noah's trip to Europe. And when you hear this sound,
she was my wife!
That means we've put a link to whatever we were just talking about in the show notes. Okay, let's start the show.
TanCast.
Zing-a-lung-a-ding-dong, biggity-boo, skip, slip-doo-da,
lep-a-dum. We're ready to get back. Welcome to TanCast, everybody.
Welcome.
Motherfuckers, fatherfuckers, sisterfuckers.
TanCast, back again. Blah, 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 blah.
Hey, callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Tim, the T in TanCast.
I'm Andy, the A in TanCast.
I'm Noah, the N in TanCast. And when you hear this
show...
That means there's a link in the show notes.
Die! What just happened?
That movie does not stand up, by the way.
Face Off?
Yeah.
Media, oh, we review media. It's media on TanCast, baby.
Did you watch it with your nostalgia goggles?
Not necessarily. It just came on, and I was like, "Oh, let me watch this." I'm like, "Eh, eh."
Let me stop watching this.
I finished it.
I watched The Thing to check out my nostalgia goggles.
You mean
the original one, not
John
Carpenter?
It's Clobbering Time.
Yes, the original one, John Carpenter's.
Both of them were John Carpenter.
Oh, did he do the remake as well?
He did. Did he not?
No.
I'm pretty sure he did.
He may have been involved, but no, it was a different director. Pretty sure it was a different writer.
Your mom did it.
Pretty sure the sequel prequel was a piece of shit. But the original,
that may be.
Yeah, the creature effects, still kind of.
Oh.
They show their age a little, but still pretty fucked up. Like, still very well done. Still a scary movie to be watching at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, for once in his life, Andy is right. John Carpenter did not direct the remake. I thought he was involved.
Always fucking right. Always.
Nah.
Why did you doubt me?
It's based on the short story Who Goes There?
Yes. Which was made into The Thing from Outer Space, I believe. Or The Thing that came from outer space. See, now we're showing the edges.
The Thing that came in outer space.
Oh. Starseed!
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Oh, my.
I saw Galaxy Quest. Because reasons.
I also watched Galaxy Quest because same reasons.
I toyed with watching it with the Thermian language track, but I just didn't have the stomach for it.
I didn't want to go find my DVD, so I just turned it on Netflix.
I may have done the same thing, even though I did find my DVD. I had it, I set it down, and then I realized I can't do the dishes and watch Galaxy Quest in the living room, so I popped the iPad in front of the sink and dished it up.
Yeah. You know, I actually had the same, like, momentary, should I watch this in Thermian? But then I realized the whole reason I'm watching this is to watch Alan Rickman be awesome.
It's just a fucking good movie. It holds up.
It is, and it does. It's a good Trek movie.
It is. I kind of agree with J.J. Abrams that he says it's one of the best Star Trek movies.
Yes. Me too.
It wasn't Abrams. It was somebody on that crew, though, from the Bad Robot Trek. I also watched a documentary called Crisis on the Bridge.
Wait, what did you call it?
A documentary?
Please sound kind of weird. A documentary.
A documentary.
Hey, everybody. Editor Tim here. While they're busy making fun of how I pronounce documentary, none of them noticed that I called the movie the wrong name. It's not Crisis on the Bridge. It's Chaos on the Bridge. Just like it's chaos in this episode. Let's get back to it.
Tell us about it, Tim. Break it down.
It's about the creation of the Star Trek The Next Generation. And it's produced and narrated, or like not narrated because he's actually physically there. Like he's doing the interviews. William Shatner, which seems odd seeing that he had zero involvement in Star Trek The Next Generation. And then they're talking to all these people about how like basically Gene Roddenberry's vision was strangling the writers of the show. And like, because he's like, okay, there can be no conflict between anybody in the cast. And you're like, without conflict, how do we tell a story?
It's
like, hey, Bob, how you doing? Great. And nothing is wrong. Super. Let's talk about this for an hour.
Yeah, you always have to bring somebody else in from the outside to cause conflict.
Yep.
Or have the crew go crazy. Like, there can be no conflict with the cast unless some bug or brain in a jar or crazy mist monster has fucked with all their minds.
That was from the original, or that was also from Next Generation?
Both.
I don't think that was as much in the original series. Because they said like it reflected his state of mind at the time of each series, so he was younger and less interested in philosophizing, I guess, for want of a better word. And like he was also worried about like his legacy. And like in the interim between when Star Trek went off the air and Star Trek The Next Generation came on, people started referring to him as this visionary who saw this, you know, utopia in the future, and so he like wanted to live up to that legend. According to some of the people they interviewed. Although it's funny because people have wildly differing accounts and they'll interview them back to back. So it's like, here's one thing. Here's the completely opposite of what that guy just said. And I was hoping they would go into more detail about why Dr. Crusher was gone for the second season and back for the third. But they just sort of, they talked about it, but they didn't really like, here's why it happened and here's why we fixed it. And they talked to Pulaski too, but very briefly.
Oh.
She had also been on the original series.
Yes, she had.
Well.
Very briefly.
Skibble my dibble.
She was a blind
nerds.
Lady.
What other documentary did I watch? Documentary. I watched another documentary.
I don't know.
Shit, what was it? Hang on, I'll look at my next week. You guys talk about something.
Was it about murder?
Yeah, no.
No.
As long as we sort of leapt straight into a steaming pile of streaming, can I talk about what I watched?
No.
I assume that's what we were doing since we just leapt into it.
Excellent. I watched Mad Max Fury Road, and it was awesome.
I thought you were going to say awful.
No.
Why is Netflix advertising Catwoman like everybody needs to get up on this like it's the best thing ever?
I don't know. I don't know if you saw me tweet about it, but I was like, I want a zero-star option. There's got to be something less than one for Catwoman. And if Son of the Mask ever comes on, I need negative.
Anyway, so you saw Mad Max sucking dicks.
Yes, Mad Max Fury Road.
Sucking dicks.
Yeah. If you're a fan of the original Mad Max, I think you will definitely enjoy it, even though it's Tom Hardy instead of Mel Gibson, because he's kind of age/anti-Semitismed out of the role. not sure which of those carries more weight, but I remember reading reviews that said that it seemed like it was, you know, sort of like Max was along for the ride. Like, this wasn't a story about Mad Max. It was more like a story that Mad Max stumbled upon and participated in. And that's valid, but it's still a great Mad Max movie. Even if you have never seen a Mad Max movie before, I think you'll probably like it if you like action movies, movie with a strong female lead. There was some good plot development.
Does it pass the Bechdel test, though?
Do you say it does or does it?
I was wondering if it does.
I'm trying to think. Is it that two female characters have to go the whole movie, or they just have to have a conversation?
Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
Has to be two female characters. They have to be named, and they have to have a conversation about something other than a man.
So So that named part is a little bit tricky because, as is typical for Mad Max movies, a lot of people, you don't find out their names unless you watch the credits.
I think that counts.
But yeah, but like the characters are named. So yes, in that case, it definitely passes the Bechdel test. I can think of several conversations that that have nothing to do with men and between two plus women.
According to the website, it passes.
She was my wife!
Yep, I can confirm. Yeah, like if you like things that are like post-apocalyptic, but not like The Road. It's like, how do I explain what I'm talking about? Anybody who's seen The Road would understand, but like post-apocalyptic without it being like life sucks and will never get better.
I mean, you haven't seen it, Tim, right?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Like if you think about it, it's just funny how it ends.
The film has at least seven named women in it. We do hear their names, or they are made clear, and they mostly talk about things other than a man.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't sure because, like, the whole kind of setup is they're escaping a man.
Yeah, yeah. So there are a lot of conversations that involve escaping men, but then there's also conversations about, like, what they're going to need to do to survive, and where should they go next, and
true.
What does everybody feel about that? Well, it's not like, hey, let's stand around and talk about our feelings, but, like...
like
how does that make you feel?
Talk about my feelings!
Like debating what's best to do next. Or like debating what they have to do now.
I bet Man of Steel failed the Bechdel test. Let's find out.
Was there a third named female? Because the only two I can think of are Lois Lane and Martha Kent. And I think the only time they interacted was to talk to each other about Superman.
I think there's a third one. Zod's Lieutenant Skipperdoo. I can't remember what her name is.
Yes. Oh, and I think she does have a conversation with Lois about how she's going to kill Lois.
Oh, snap. It passes. The movie passes the test based on two conversations. One slightly dubious, one clear cut. The first one is when Jenny, who isn't named at this point in the movie but is named later, tells Lois, "You've got to come see this."
Yeah, that's dubious.
I feel like, looking at the rules of the Bechdel test, I feel like the bar is set pretty low.
Well, because that's what it was supposed to be. Like, it was such a low bar, and so many movies don't pass it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Actually, it wasn't even supposed to be a test. It was just like a comic, and then people made it into a thing.
She was my wife!
Well, it's like she made this comment about the thing, like, you know, hey, wouldn't it be great if more movies had this? And then people started, like, actually going and examining movies and being like, holy shit! Women don't talk to women in movies except about men. You know what? I think that one of the Sex and the City movies may not pass the Bechdel test.
Or maybe Force Awakens barely passes the Bechdel test, considering that the main character is a woman, and there's, you know, at least two other strong female characters in there. That's pretty amazing.
Well, we got Rey and Leia together. What should they talk about? Luke or Kylo
Nothing.
Ren?
They don't get to talk. They have one exchange, and it's "May the Force be with you."
To which all the Catholics reply, "And also with you."
It's that Yoda-looking gal who was stop-motion talking to Rey at one point.
Ah, yes, yes, that is right. She is a female character.
But anyway.
Anyways.
You were talking about... Oh, wait, you guys were still talking about Mad Max.
I think it was pretty done. Yeah, so it's post-apocalyptic. It's like, you know, wasteland and violence and, you know, people living short, horrible lives and stuff like that. But it's not like, let's drown in our misery.
So Detroit.
Kinda, yeah. Like there's
Detroit Rock City.
Yeah. It's like
Detroit,
you know,
Rock Bottom City. Am I right? I am right.
You can take in a bit of culture between stabbings.
I remember the documentary. I never found it, but I remember the documentary. And it was called Electric Boogaloo, The Story of Canon Films.
I thought it was Canon Films like a...
Breaking 2.
Like a company?
Yes. It was a film company that made Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Ah.
Ah. Well, that is... Why'd you watch that? That seems random.
It was just... it was like, hey, you want to watch this? And I was like, eh, sure.
If you insist.
I was like, I'm washing dishes. Anything to distract me from this activity that I hate.
Ah.
I finally caught up on At Midnight, so yes.
Yeah, you know what I miss for washing dishes? Being able to just put the Avengers on. I miss Netflix having the Avengers.
Oh, well then you should have it on your phone because you own the digital copy.
I should. I really should.
I do. And also X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah, that's probably not a bad one to listen to.
And then I'm going to put Avengers 2 on there soon.
Nice.
Maybe the Ants-Mans.
There's some good comedy in the Ants-Mans. Yo, son! Sorry. Key and Peele had to hop out there for a second.
I watched movies.
Yeah?
Hey.
I watched one I never heard of before called Selfless, which has Ryan Reynolds in it.
Is that the one where it's him and Ben Kingsley?
Yep.
Yes. I've heard of that. You don't? Oh, I was like, you don't remember the trailer, but I bet you don't.
No, I never saw the trailer, and therefore I never heard of it.
That trailer was inescapable, unless you're Noah, and you're like Matrix dodging trailers.
I know, it's really not that hard to avoid trailers. Like, you just don't click on the link to say, watch this trailer, and then if you go to the movies, just don't watch the trailer.
That is hard, though.
I don't know. I mean, I just put some headphones in, turn my phone. It's pretty easy. I mean, I guess it's not like I think the only time like it's hard is like sometimes I'll be watching like a video podcast, like a bunch of one about video games, and I'm like, here's some scenes in that trailer. I mean, nope. I also don't watch live television, so.
Oh, it's been so nice to finally watch all of the stuff, the promotional stuff leading up to The Force Awakens, that I didn't watch before it came out because I didn't want any, you know, I didn't want any nothing. Fuck, there was some good Harrison Ford comedy out there. Sorry.
Oh.
Anyway, back to your thing. I'm gonna find it.
Oh, so Selfless. It was interesting. So the setup is like they've come up with a system to transfer your consciousness to a genetically like a lab created body. So Ben Kingsley, he's like this, you know, rich construction guy, and so he does it. But then he starts having these weird like flashes of memories that are not from his life, and he starts to investigate. Which I don't know if the trailer covered. Did it pretty much cover that?
Yeah.
It was not bad. Like, it was an interesting idea. I mean, it wasn't like great. I wouldn't say like, oh, you have to go see this movie. But you know, if you're on a plane flight for 11 hours, I'm like, this was mildly entertaining.
I guess we do have more interesting stories than movies to get to at some point.
Better than listening to people cough fart.
I also watched The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
How was that? Because I've heard mixed. I've heard Selfless was not that great. Like that it was an interesting premise and kind of poor, obvious execution. But yeah, I've heard really mixed things about Man from U.N.C.L.E. Like I've heard from some people who are like, it was great, action packed, blah blah blah, and other people like meh.
I'm kind of more towards meh. Like it was not like it was like again on an airplane flight where it's not a lot of choices. It was not bad, but. I wouldn't say like you had to go see that either. They definitely set up for a sequel.
Selfless? The other one?
What was that?
Oh, Selfless is set up for a sequel or the other one?
No. Man from U.N.C.L.E.
The Man from Aunt.
Which I'm not sure if there will be because it didn't do very well, right?
No.
But I never watched the original show, so I'm not. I guess I was coming with like with fresh eyes and like I don't know how it compares, but I'm just like, that was fine. Like. Yeah, it had some interesting action. Like, you know, the chemistry for the characters was kind of funny. Like, it definitely had some funny parts to it. But just kind of okay. Like, Guy Ritchie has not captured his, like, magic of, like, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch. And I wanted to get back to that.
How do you feel about Rock and Rolla?
I don't remember loving it. Like, it's been a while since I've seen it, and it doesn't stick out in my mind, but I don't remember it being like, oh, that was totally, like, what I was looking for in a Guy Ritchie movie. What about you? Did you enjoy it?
I felt like some of the charm of the earlier movies were that, the snappy back and forth, and it seemed like there was less snap to Rock and Rolla. But it did seem to be a lot closer to, you know, Snatch and Lock, Stock. Definitely better than whatever that Madonna piece of crap was. 5 days and
Swept Away.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Why do I know that? I haven't seen any of these movies. No, I saw Lock, Stock.
You should see Snatch. Snatch is better than Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Every time I visit your mom.
Yeah, the dialogue in Snatch was really good. And. Just like when he's like,
just everything in Snatch is crazy. It's like this can't get more crazy. Oh, here comes another like plot
line. Hold on.
Let
Tim laugh at his joke.
Oh, sorry.
You guys talk. I don't care about Snatch.
All right. Like, like here's another plot line. Just crash into this first plot line and double the crazy.
When he's backing up and he hits that other car.
Yes! That's so freaking random.
And he's like, yeah, when you back up, things come from behind you. It was at a funny angle.
Sorry. I thought that you meant the part where he accidentally hit, small spoiler, accidentally hit Benicio del Toro. Like, that was a callback to the part that you were just referencing, but it's like, and see, it works out for him that this guy's a shitty driver.
What, does he hit Benicio del Toro? Is that when he has a bag on his head, or was that Boris the Blade?
So Benicio del Toro, I don't know that they put a bag on his head, but he was changing into a different outfit in the back of a van.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's the same I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, no. The thing where he backed into it and it, like, he just hit something, I thought wasn't the van. I thought that was when they were at the service
station.
I think
it was the van. I don't know.
Okay. It's been too long. I'll watch it again. Tim, you should watch it with me. Then we can compare.
I'm just
things.
Doing an impression of the audience right now.
Okay.
they care about these fine details.
Yes.
They don't.
Yes, they do.
Either they're as bored as me, or they're shouting at one of you that you're wrong.
All right. What?
And I watched this movie called Wild Card with Jason Statham, where he kicks a bunch of people's asses, you know. Like
what a departure
does.
For him.
I know.
He's a rough and tumble guy trying to help people out. And I think
does he have to transport something?
No, he did not have to transport something in that case.
Oh, okay. So he really is stretching.
Did I watch anything else? I think I watched some other movies I had seen before just because I was like, oh, I'm going to take a nap. Yeah, that was it. And then I went to Amsterdam, Sweden, and Copenhagen.
We'll get to that in a second.
Burying the lead.
So the promotional things I was talking about, just really quickly, Harrison Ford was on Conan. Not really. He wasn't like a guest, but he did this sketch. Not Conan. Colbert.
She was my wife!
And they did this sketch where J.J. Abrams was trying to convince him to be in the movie. And then Colbert shows up dressed as Han Solo. It's like, if you're not going to hire him, hire me. Han Solo gets, I mean, Harrison Ford gets all, oh, it's so funny. He's like, I'm going to dedicate my performance to the memory of Harrison Ford. And Harrison Ford goes, I'm right fucking here. And then he also went on Conan. Hang on, I'll put these links in here for you guys later.
Yay.
She was my wife.
Then he went on Conan, again, him and J.J. Abrams. And they, like, they did this thing where I guess one of Conan's producers is a super big fan of Star Wars, and he was asking like this technical question about the lightsaber. It was super, super technical. And J.J. Abrams goes, that sounds like a question for Harrison. Harrison? And Harrison goes, maybe. And then he's like, well, he also wanted you to sign this thing. It's a Lego Millennium Falcon, and he spent like over 60 man hours putting it together. It's this huge thing, and he starts to hand it to him. He's like, and Harrison Ford goes, oh yeah, and he just whips it behind his head and goes, he goes, whoops. Oh, shucks. And like the thing is all destroyed on the floor, and Harrison Ford goes, you still have the pen? He grabs a chunk of it, and he's like, oh, maybe it'll increase its value. And the guy just sort of wanders off, and Harrison Ford chucks the piece he signed behind him and goes, hey, here's your pen, and whips it at the producer. Meanwhile, Conan and J.J. Abrams are laughing. Like, I don't know if it's fake or not, but they are laughing their balls off. And then the last one was okay. It was Jimmy Kimmel.
She was my wife!
Jimmy Kimmel loves to do this thing where Harrison Ford is in a spat with Chewbacca.
Yes.
Did you
She
hear
was my wife, you son of a bitch.
So, like, it starts with Chewbacca's on the roof about to kill himself. And Harrison Ford is just wandering by, as you know Harrison Ford likes to do on Hollywood Boulevard. And Jimmy Cooker grabs him and goes, look, Chewbacca's about to kill himself. And Harrison Ford goes, oh, good. And starts to walk away. I won't give away the rest of the comedy, but it's all good.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to looking forward to those. I mean,
and now they'll all be in the show notes, so I can always reference them forever.
She said, wait, which TanCast did we talk about that on?
Oh, I'm trying to find the TanCast where we did Jar Jar Binks doing the speech from Taken. Because somebody just interviewed that dude and had him do it. I was like, did he fucking rip us off, ripping him off? At least I have a special skills.
Man, people are always stealing from us.
Yeah.
I know, man. We are
Like, we invented podcasts.
Oh, goddamn. I love when Tim, when you put that video up of, did Bill Maher steal from Tancast?
She was my wife!
So he's like, no, no, he would never steal from such a shitty little podcast.
It's like, okay, dude, that was a joke.
Who said that?
Just some random fucking internet commenter that found that video. Like, just like had to spill their bile all over it. It's like, all right, idiot. Take it down a notch. The guys with the shitty little podcast clearly know that they have a shitty little podcast, and that was clearly a joke. They happened across the same joke about Bubbles the Chimp that Michael Jackson did, or that that Bill Maher did.
73 downvotes, 9 upvotes. That's what that video's got. That video.
Oh.
The internet doesn't get us. That would explain a lot.
Right-wingers are great at providing laughter, just not facts. I don't know what that comment means. At no point does this video get political.
No.
But you can tell they're right-wingers.
Who? Us?
Yeah.
We're right-wingers. Yeah, totally. We are. We are Trump 2016.
Yep.
That's us. All the way. No, I don't want you to restart my computer right now, Windows. Now would be a bad time.
No, Windows, do it. Do it. Don't listen to Tim. Restart.
Windows, you do you. Live your truth, Windows.
Speaking of living, someone did some living over the past couple weeks.
Yes, he did.
You've been following him on Instagram. You've seen little slices. But now, let's hear the full story.
But before we talk about that,
Andy,
the other two movies that Andy watched. I stepped on your punchline. I'm sorry.
Yay. You're always fucking right until it comes to comedy.
I know. I'm always fucking right, just not at the right times.
Anyway.
Time lapse, very good. Time travel kind of movie. Sort of deals with ideas.
I was hoping you were kidding and you weren't really going to talk about two more movies
when we only have
20 minutes and less to get to the fucking end of this episode.
No. Let me do. Predestination is the kind of the
blah,
whole
blah,
idea.
Blah, blah, blah.
So if you could see pictures blah, blah, from blah, 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 24 hours in your future, does that like force you to live that? Can you manipulate your own past by sending messages to yourself, or does
was that
just
the one where
you?
That machine's taking pictures of them? That
yep.
What you said?
Yes. Yep. It's available on Netflix. I would definitely recommend it.
And then shit gets real.
Yep. Yeah.
Real dumb.
It's a well done thriller, but even better than Time Lapse, Nightcrawler. With Jake Gyllenhaal, also on Netflix.
That movie was crazy.
That movie was crazy.
Cray cray.
That movie was likely crazy, based on what I've heard.
Yes. Also kind of a thriller, but yeah, definitely a different type. Also kind of philosophical, like when you think about like what the character's willing to do to get ahead in life. It's sort of like, oh, okay, well, he's horrible.
But also we encourage that behavior.
Yeah. Indeed, it's like he's the creature we made him.
Although he was kind of fucked up to begin with, I think.
This is true. He sort of fell into a fucked up, a new fucked up place that we created for him to go live in. Like he was already fucked up, but then we created fucked up Phil for him to go live the rest of his fucked up life in. So, Noah, do you want to hear me talk about what it was like to fly across the country? That's something I've done many, many, many times.
Go for it.
How the fuck was everyone's week? Was it good times or was it bleak? We'll find out on our very next segment. How was your motherfucking week?
All right. It was great. Noah? Back to you.
Well, it started off that I missed my flight.
So yes, it did.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, that burns.
It did. I'm not a crier, but I felt like crying. like there was no one there at the desk to help me, and I found one guy. He's just like, oh, no, can't do nothing. I'm like, really? No one's going to fucking help me. And I was super stressed for about, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, and I just sat down. I'm like, all right, what can I do to fix this? Because, like, at first it was like, fuck, I told everybody that I was going. And now I'm like, oh, hey, guys. Turns out I'm just going to be hanging around my house for a couple weeks. I also had booked, like, an Airbnb and a flight to Amsterdam and et cetera, et cetera. So I found a flight. So first flights were, like, crazy expensive. But I somehow found a flight that was like leaving the next day and just getting back like a day earlier than I originally planned for like less than my original flight. So I made it. Yeah, always leave extra, like I usually do, and I was just sticking around, my flight got delayed, and I thought I had time, and I didn't make it. So, yeah, always leave way more time than you need. And I fucking did that every flight after that. I'm like, fuck, I'm not taking chances this time. I'm not missing my flight.
Sir, your flight's not for another week? Yeah, but I'm here.
I'm not missing this flight.
Give me an overpriced Danish. I'm here to stay.
So I flew into Copenhagen. And then promptly went over to Sweden, and I crossed the bridge that is featured in the show The Bridge. That is, it was a Swedish show that got remade, I think, into American show. But The Bridge is, I guess, featured in it. And I hung out with my friend who went to Amsterdam with me, and we did Amsterdam, you know. Walked around, saw the prostitutes in the windows, and went to the prostitute information center and learned about, you know, them. Oh, that was interesting. It was opened by a former prostitute. She has a little pamphlet that she can give you. A lot of canals and old buildings and beautiful churches. And there's weed, which technically I guess is not legal there, but I think it's like the same kind of here where it's like federally it's not legal, but in the state it's legal, so the federal government's just like, whatever. I think they have a similar system there where it's like you're allowed to buy it, but it's not really totally, you know, up to snuff. And you can also buy mushrooms there, or I think technically truffles they call them, which I guess think is the bottom part of the mushroom, or maybe it's a different type of mushroom. Andy maybe knows.
So truffles are an edible type of mushroom. The part that you eat, you have to dig up, but I don't know if it's the fruiting body the same as it would be for, you know, like shiitakes and whatever. I honestly don't know. Well, but are these truffles like psychoactive?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the point.
Got it.
They have delicious cheese in Amsterdam. I posted something like, they make delicious cheese and they give out free samples, so fill up.
I
was walking by, and they have so many cheese shops. I'd walk into one, have some samples, walk out. I'd walk into another one, have some samples, walk out.
And they went, look, an American.
That's right.
No, he can't be American. He's not fat.
I did hear some random people talking about Americans and how fat they are. So I'm like, huh, all right.
And you were like, are you referring to this fat cock? Because that's true.
Ba-bam.
Not all Americans have this.
Stand back now.
But if you play your cards right, you can have this.
No, no.
Mm-mm. And you, an hour later.
You, my room, 10 o'clock. You, 10:15, bring a friend.
I don't want to get any crazy European venereal diseases, though, so wash it down there.
What is the European venereal disease?
Le chlamydia.
Royale with cheese.
You know what they call chlamydia in France? Royale with cheese.
Oh, no, I'll beat you to it.
Anyways, so yeah, I drank some tasty cocktails, saw some museums, Van Gogh, the Reich.
I drank some tasty cocktails. Oh,
cocktails.
Okay.
Cocktails.
I drank some tasty cock.
Had a Amsterdam dish which was like meatballs, but they're kind of like mushy inside, which I wasn't a fan of.
Mm. Okay. You gotta go elsewhere in Europe for meatballs.
like a full meatball. It was like they deep fried like some type of paste or pate.
It's people. Mm. It's people.
It's semen. So
I had a Dutch style pancake.
Of people potentially. What?
I had a Dutch style pancake.
Ah.
Which is like they.
Is it like a normal pancake, but it wears little wooden shoes?
Yes, exactly. They did give me a wooden shoe when I went there. A little tiny wooden shoe.
Just one.
Just one. I mean, you don't wear it. You just.
Okay. I'm like, Noah, what the fuck am I going to do with one shoe?
It was for your penis.
Do I look like a pirate?
It was not for my penis. So a Dutch style pancake is just they cook the pancake thin with the ingredients inside, like bacon and.
Mmm.
Shit. It was delicious. Oh, and I got super drunk on New Year's Eve, and I felt so I lost a day on the first because I was like, I don't feel like doing shit because I feel terrible. And yeah,
we're getting old, gentlemen.
We are old. I mean, we went to one bar, drank a lot, and then it hit midnight, and then we went to another bar and drank some more with some French ladies.
Yeah.
Did you make that noise all night?
In your Vichy soir.
I did not make that noise once, actually.
Because I wanted to.
Did you bed down with any ladies?
No.
Oh, then you couldn't give them a Dutch oven.
I don't think they would appreciate
What's
that.
It's the best time to do it.
That's
not about what they appreciate.
At one point, I tried to check into my Airbnb.
That's stories you get to tell your grandkids.
Yeah.
Am I delayed?
No, we're just talking over you.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, you are a little bit delayed.
Okay.
And also, my wife is distracting me.
Ah.
So you're like, I'm going to talk over Noah?
Maybe I'm
delayed. Is she using her boobs to distract you?
No.
Oh. I was about to be excited for you. I was going to give you a screen high five.
No, the no was for Noah.
Oh.
The lack of answer was for Andy.
Oh.
Navy SEAL.
Subtle screen high five.
When I was staying at my friend's house in Sweden, I took the bus a lot and the train to get over to Copenhagen, and I saw this guy on the bus multiple times, looked a little weird, and then he started offering random meat to people on the bus. Like, he was just sitting there, he hit it, stuck with a toothpick, and then, like, offered to lay next to him. She declined. Then some lady was not facing him. He kind of, like, gestured towards her. She wasn't looking at him, and just kept gesturing, and then finally gave up. I was like, I don't think I would ever eat meat from a guy on a bus.
Bus meat.
Especially, not ever, but especially just like this guy was dressed. Like, the way it was just, he just did not look all there.
I don't think that the word delicious has ever come before the words bus meat.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any costume he could put on that would make me eat his bus meat. He could have a tuxedo and tails, and I'd be like, I'll pass.
What if they look like Barack Obama?
I don't care.
Tim, what I have here is some delicious chorizo. No bus meat for me today, Mr. President.
Yeah. Have you heard about my medical plan? If you get sick off this bus meat, it will protect you. You'll be covered.
If you like your bus meat, you can keep it.
But everyone has to have bus meat.
Oh, great. Now I'm subsidizing some slacker's bus meat.
Oh. The bus meat takers, not the bus meat makers.
Politics.
Copenhagen was... Sorry, what?
No, go ahead.
Copenhagen was lovely. There's castles there, which is... I went to a castle kind of north of Copenhagen, and, like, there's just houses and a lake and a castle. Like, you just live in a house, you look across the lake, and they're like, oh, there's the castle that's next to my house.
Well, that's how it used to be. It'd be like, oh, I live in my shit and thatch hut, and I look outside my tiny little door because I'm short because of malnutrition, and there's the same castle.
Yeah, the I'm sure these people are rich. That live across the castle. Probably. I do not think living across the castle is cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also, I went to Modern Art Museum in Denmark, which was amazing. And they had a bunch of everything. I posted a video on Facebook, but it was like, it's hard to even describe what this was, but basically it was a big plastic cube with all this shit going on. There's like partial wax people. There was ants. There was exploded fruit. There was like strings going through. There was like floating heads. There was arms throwing cherries. There was like so much, like these black figures. Like, it was the weirdest but most interesting thing I've seen in a while.
Now, didn't you say it was the Louisiana Museum of Art?
Yes.
And that is in
Hilborg?
Hilborg?
Hilborg, Denmark.
Okay. I was like, did he stop off in Louisiana and just go to the art museum? That seems random. He didn't mention that.
I think it's based off this female named Louisa, maybe.
Louisiana?
They told like a little story in their audio tour that talked about it, and I was only kind of half paying attention. So
you're
I kind
like,
of missed,
I don't
like,
give
the
a third. Fuck.
I'm like, I'm looking at this amazing art.
Culture, sculpture.
But yeah, if you ever go to Denmark, I would say if you go one place, that would be it.
All right.
Like, that was probably one of the best things I did. I mean, I did other cool stuff, but like, that was pretty awesome. And it's about 35-minute train ride outside of Copenhagen. And the thing that I saw, if you guys want to take a look for yourself, and I actually can provide a link, is called Flux and the Puddle. That was like the big cube with like...
That was a cube. Is monstrosity that you were referring to?
Yeah.
Huh. Weird. Yes, I'd like a link to that. Because that seems like some next level shit.
She was my wife!
So I guess it's part of this program where they're featuring one piece of art by one artist. Like one like impactful piece of art by an artist. So it's not like we're going to have like a bunch of stuff. It's just going to be like, this is going to be this one thing, but it's going to be amazing. So far, I would say they're doing a good job. Yeah, I just like, I saw little pictures. I came in, I'm like, what the fuck is this? And you just go around and there's just so many levels and so many things to see and so many little things. Like you could just like look at it and just see like new things.
Hmm.
If you're ever in the Paris Airport, fuck that place. That place is terrible.
Wow.
Charles de Gaulle?
Yes.
Yeah, it's got a reputation.
It's just like fucking huge. So like, I had to go for like passport control. So I had to lay over in Paris. And so I had to go for passport control. That line was long. But then when you get out of passport control, fucking your wing, your like terminal's fucking far. You're like, it's like, it's this way. But then you go around this corner. Then you go down these stairs. Then you go around this corner. Then you go down this corner. Then you go, and then you think it's around the corner. But no, you keep going. I'm like, fuck this place. Fuck Paris Airport. I never want to go there again. I mean, it also didn't help that my flight was late going into it, and so I was a little short on time, so I was a little stressed by the fact that I was like, fuck, I don't want to miss a flight again. And it was fine, but it's just like, that did not enamor the airport even more to me. Like, if I had time to stroll around, I'm like, maybe I wouldn't care as much. I probably would have stopped, like, this is fucking far, but I'd be like, oh, whatever, I got time, baby. But it turns out, like, I rushed to get to my plane, and they hadn't even boarded yet, even though they were supposed to board, like, 30 minutes before I even got there. So, it worked out, though. I posted some pictures on Instagram. I'm going to be doing... Fuck, I took a lot of pictures. Like, I think I took about 1,000 pictures on my iPhone.
Wow.
Wow.
And I also had a camera with me. So I'm like, fuck.
Why are you angry at yourself?
I mean, I was just amazed that I took that many pictures.
Really? You take pictures every day on your morning jog of, like, leaves and shit. Of course you're going to take pictures when you go to a foreign country. Holy crap, they have whole new leaves. Click.
Well, like, all right, so I was gone for, like, 2 weeks, right? Let's see. On average, that's, like, 71 pictures a day. I may be overestimating. Maybe I didn't take that many pictures.
I don't think that is an extraordinary amount of pictures.
It just seems like a lot. I don't feel like I took I guess sometimes I would take a couple pictures at a time. It just didn't feel like I took 74 pictures.
Well, the way I always think about stuff like that is, you know, back in my uncle's day when he was traveling around like you a lot, he'd come back and he'd, you know, put up these pictures and he'd like have them like blown up and framed, and they were always amazing. It was like, you know, a bunch of hot air balloons like taking off and like the sun had, like, just come up, so they're all like lit up and golden, and like the ground below them is like still dark. I'm like, that was amazing. He's like, that took about 100 pictures to get that one shot.
This is true.
I mean, like, I guess was snapping pictures all morning, and that's the one that was like good enough to blow up and frame.
I guess now you kind of see, like, before you'd only show the good ones,
mm-hmm.
which is still, you know, kind of the case. But now I can see like all the shitty, like, you know, like ones I'm like, I'm not gonna post that. I'm not gonna post that. I'm not gonna post that.
I fully support your picture taking.
But at some point, I'll do a big dump of the pictures that I took and. Although I wonder if
I did a big dump yesterday.
What was that?
I did a big dump yesterday. Different sort.
Although next time with my iPhone, I may just do like every day, just do like a quick like upload of that day. I don't know, that might be too much. But like Facebook has this little collage thing where it just plays the videos like a little slideshow. I'm like, that's kinda cool.
That's kinda cool.
Facebook, give me a better presentation of this shit I made.
Do some transitions.
Doesn't Instagram have something like that too? Or something? I feel like one of my friends is always posting like several pictures at a clip.
You could probably do like a video of
Google it. Photos will do that. Like if there's a bunch of pictures that were all like taken back to back to back, it'll stitch them together into a little animation.
One quick story, because we're about to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in Amsterdam, and like this kid was speaking to his mother or some an older person, maybe his grandmother, and I didn't understand what they're saying, but it's so funny by the tone of his voice. I could totally say, he's like whining about something, but I don't want it, or something. I'm like, oh man, like whining is so universal. Like that tone of voice is just like, I don't know what you're saying, kid, but I get the sentiment of like, like this sucks.
I'm sorry, kid. Would some bus meat make you feel better?
Bus meat.
It's what's for dinner. Tim, real quick. Harrison Ford offers you bus meat. You would take it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little sad. The president? No. Harrison Ford? Yes.
Tim would take it if it was Harrison Ford's meat. On a bus.
On a stick.
On a train, on a plane, in a house with a mouse. It doesn't matter.
So that's the gist of my trip. It was great. It's good to be back to my routine.
My wife kept asking, like, so is he back yet? I don't know. Fuck. You suck. So is he on his way back? I think so. When does he come back? I have no idea.
She is allowed to contact me directly.
She didn't want to bother you on vacation, and she wanted Tim to have answers to her fucking questions.
It's not like you're my representative, Tim.
I am.
I'm sorry, Janelle. I cannot answer any questions. You must speak to my representative, Tim.
I'm sorry.
Babb.
Noah is not taking calls today.
You should just set up a form letter.
Oh, another quick tip. If you're going on a trip, it was okay this time, but always have paper shit of like your address and the stuff you need. Cause like I was realizing like everything's on this fucking phone. If something happens to this phone, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
I did that when I went to Thailand. I just didn't think about it as much for some reason this time around. Anyways.
You did something else with your phone when you went to Thailand too.
Yes. That did not happen this time around. I was
good
very careful.
Work. No good. Shit phone.
Remember, never trust the guy offering meat on the bus.
Not today, Noah, when Noah's coming back from Amsterdam.
Not even my roommates know, if that makes her feel any better.
Oh, like, great.
They're like,
I will
you're
tell
back? I'm like, yeah, I'm back. It's like, Rio just came in my room, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, what if I was fucking your mom or something? You've been all awkward for you, because then you see your mom and me fucking her.
Seeing just that look of bliss and no one else is able to give her.
Just split open like I'm trying to make boards.
Happier than she's ever looked in her life. Legs all akimbo up in the air.
Hey, I'm trying to make you a brother. Relax.
This week, fuck cancer.
Tancast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tancast. If you liked it, please tell your friends about it. Post about it on social media, your Twitters, your Facebooks, your MySpace if you're stuck in 2007. Subscribe to us on iTunes and maybe even write us a review on iTunes. If you prefer to get your podcast on Stitcher, don't worry. Tancast is there as well. Go to Tancast.com for all your Tancast needs. Leave comments on this episode. Read blogs whenever we get around to posting them. And you can find links to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and our Zazzle store. Thanks, as always, to DJ Technoid, who created the official Tancast theme, and big thanks to Angela, who created the official Tancast artwork. Alright, that's enough plugs. Time to end the show, but please come back again next week! Please!
And fuck the age 69. I'm gonna skip it. I'm gonna be like, I'm 68. Nope, now I'm 70.
It didn't just get David Bowie and
Alan Rickman.
And Alan Rickman. It also got Lemmy 4 days after his 69th or his 70th birthday, so just outside. But it also got Celine Dion's husband, and it got the guy who played fucking Grizzly Adams, and they were both early 70s, like 73 and 74. So apparently there's a window of being famous and struggling with cancer where 69 to 74 and January 2016, or I guess December 28th for Lemmy, and it's fuck you, bye-bye.
I'm internet famous, so I'm just going to skip all those, just jump to 75.
Yep.
Someone posted, I texted it to you guys, but someone posted like, hey, cancer, Donald Trump is 69. You owe us.
Oh,
yes. I said the same thing when you pointed out, you're like, well, Donald Trump's also 69. I'm like, well, then cancer fucking owes us one.
And I was like, I want to acknowledge that this is humorous, but I'm not going to like this.
What, like, I know Facebook. Well, no, that's getting in the weeds. Anyways. I don't, you said you had to go at 10, Tim, so I don't want to, like, get into some conversation and, like, delay you longer.
All right.
I was just saying, like, what kind of, like, thing, because I know Facebook is working on things besides, like what kind of thing would that work for?
Oh, you mean instead of like or dislike?
Yeah.
Appreciate? Ball tickle. That tickled my balls. I didn't like it, but my balls
did. So, like, a
little
feather and, like, some hairy nut sack?
Yes.
Yeah, I see Facebook getting right on that.
Yep.
You two should be kissing my hairy beanbag. That movie stands up, I think.
I haven't seen that one in a while. I'll tell you what, the commentary was dull as dishwater.
Which movie?
Something About Mary.
Oh, yeah.
I think I sold that
back.
Yeah,
it was.
I was like, you know what? Nope.
Just the commentary?
No, the whole movie.
Can I just take off the commentary?
what do you give me for the commentary? Come on. Help brother out.
What can I give you to take the commentary away so I don't accidentally happen upon it later? All right, well, sputtering to a halt.
Oh, it burns!
Welcome back, Noah.
It's good to be back.
I missed you. And your legendary cock.
It's legendary. The legend of Noah's cock.
Bopper, bopper, bopper. Meep, meep,
meep. Dum, dum.
Dun, dun.